Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in my ongoing series, America's Most Unwanted, a look at the fugitives from justice and the people that find them. Earlier this morning, I found a news article, but of course, with the internet, I can't find it again, but it had a really, really disturbing statistic that there's something like 500,000 felony arrest warrants outstanding just in 2014. And the police don't seem to be all that keen on locating these people. I guess they're way too busy handing out traffic tickets. But enough of that. Joining me on the line is a well-known recovery agent, William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, Simon.
And also joining us is Matthew Todd, another recovery agent who is making a name for himself. Matt, great to have you on the program.
Hey, Simon, thanks for having me on.
This week, we have to begin the story or the program with Bruce R. Wilkinson. Cobra, I'll let you set the stage. What is Mr. Wilkinson done to get your ire up?
Well, he happens to be out on bond with one of the best companies in the business, Palmetto Surety, which translates to Surety 3, and Rod Dalston, which is one of my best friends. And this guy has defrauded his agents and taken about $35,000 worth of money because the bond's been paid. And he found himself in the focal light when he decided that anybody that comes after him, he's going to shoot them or kill them or, you know, maim them or whatever it is. And, you know, Rod and I were talking about him and said, you know, this guy's running around out there, stole $35,000 of our money. We're going to go hunt him down. So that's what sparked me into the deal.
Now, as I understand it, Mr. Wilkinson, you believe anyway, is in the Tampa area.
Yeah, he's in the, there's a tri-county area here, Pasco, Pinellas, and Hillsborough County. And we've been for the last several days since Wednesday evening between all three counties tracking him down. We've been successful in finding his friends. Finding his girlfriends and exes, and we just haven't been able to put our eyes on him yet, and we've dedicated a lot of time to it. I'd say since Wednesday, we've probably only had about 6 hours sleep, and we've been running very, very hard, and the reason that we're doing that, because we don't want to have to call Leonard Padilla, because, you know, he can catch anybody in 72 hours, so...
That is correct. You and I obviously have seen the same interview. Send me the file. I don't care who he is, where he is. I'll have him in 72 hours.
Right. We got to thinking, you know, Matt and I would have probably been better versed if we would have just went and hired Leonard right off the rip and go, look, you got 72 hours, bring him to us, man, we'll get you paid. So, yeah. bunch of bullshit, but I thought it was always funny, you know. I figured, you know, hey, of course, that's
well, I don't know. Matt, would you hire Leonard?
I'd probably hire the lipstick about as far as I hire
Oh, well, I mean, you know, there's plan B, right? if Leonard can't find this guy, well, the lipstick gals, they could, you know, beat up some Burger Kings or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We're doing this with no file.
Yeah. We've got no file. As you know, as to yesterday, we only had a partial name on the guy. The bonds are saying we didn't have a file. So we didn't have any information whatsoever. So at least we got a name that Leonard could use now. And, you know, and the 72-hour clock would begin to run. And I would assure you that doubtful that he's going to do it. But, you know, if it was true that he could do that, those 500,000 open warrants, roughly 72 hours per, it wouldn't take him very long to clean up a bunch of this shit.
Oh, I rather like it. And, you know, if he found the caseload was a little too much for him to, he could always get Dog involved.
There you go. Now we got a comedy cast of cartoon characters.
So,
wonder how that would work out with Lipstick Girls, Padilla, and Dog. I'd be like Clint Eastwood said, let me see, the Mexicans are going to be coming from the north, the camaraderie is coming from over there. Me, I think I'm just going to stay the hell out of the way and just watch this unfold.
Not to take anything away from Leonard, he's definitely one of the top best. But it comes down to a numbers game,
yeah.
And the numbers speak for themselves. And I'm gonna leave it at that. The numbers will speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you determine if you're the best. The numbers will speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to Bruce. Mr. Wilkinson, I understand that he has a long rap sheet, probably longer than a roll of toilet paper, mostly to do with drugs and guns. Would either of you care to explain what his priors are?
Well, what he is, he's just a pimp cheap dealer who's passed himself off as a drug guy, and he's got some doctors on his list that are, you know, should be in prison themselves because he does the doctor shopping thing, and he skims pills off of these doctors. And then he turns around and sells them on the street. You know, a lot of people wonder in the drug trade business, you know, they're trying to shut the borders down and stop cocaine from coming in the country and all that. I think our biggest problem nowadays is pharmaceutical medicines like the oxycodones and various ones. But, you know, oxycodones themselves, the blues, as they call them, the
Loxysets.
You know, you can buy these things from this store with a doctor's prescription for a couple of bucks a piece. You can sell them anywhere on the street in Florida for, you know, $10 to $20 a piece. But if you're really good and you transport those to someplace like Tennessee, you can get $50. You get them as far as New York and you get upwards of $100 per pill. So there is a huge business and market in pharmaceutical drugs, and that's what a lot of guys have moved to. His claim to fame on the street is that he's self-made. I wouldn't give him that much right now. He's like a rat hiding in a box in and out of this hood, that hood. He really can't put his head down anywhere nice, so he has to you know, any and the bad thing about this guy is he chooses young girls along the ages of 25 to 30 years old, and they usually mule for him. So these girls have ended up with just as long a rap sheets as he has, and then once he's exploited them to the max, he goes and gets another and another and another. And he's just a cheap, penniless guy running around out here, you know, farting, trying to be somebody, and he ain't nobody. And most of his history is running drugs. He's been in and out of prison. They've caught him several times with a firearm. He is supposed to have a couple of firearms on him at this very moment. And he's gotten away from law enforcement many, many times, fleeing and eluding. We pulled a tight net on him the other night and come to find out that we're only chasing him on about three or four open charges. That's what he bonded with us. But he has in excess of 30 active warrants for him. He's wanted in multiple cities, multiple counties in this part of Florida. So, yeah, he's on the dangerous side. And, you know, we met with certain law enforcement officers, and they never heard of him. We go one block away, and they all heard of him. And there's three counties right now barring for him, Pasco County, Pinellas County, and Hillsborough County. They're all wanting, you know, if you catch him, bring him to us. If you catch him, bring him to us. I'm like, dude, we're going to stick him in the middle of the highway, and whoever gets there first can have him.
Now, I'm curious about this. I assume that, you know, that the 30 charges, most of which had been discharged in some fashion, but you're saying no. You know that there are 30 outstanding warrants for the guy.
Yeah, that's on top of the ones that he already got discharged and satisfied and went to prison for. I mean, you talk about your first time, second time, third time, three strikes, you're out. Well, I don't know where this applies. It sure as hell doesn't apply in his case because he struck out in several ball games already. So, and he's still out here running. And this arrest here may be the one that incarcerates him for a while. And I surely hope so because, you know, we just finished up the raising the dead guy from the canoe wreck, and we still haven't gotten hold yet on that. We're still dicking around with the attorneys and everything else, you know, trying to get that. These hunts, these aren't hunts like you go out on the weekend and you go squirrel hunting and you got a box of bullets and, you know, and a tank of gas or something to go to your favorite, you know, tree stand with your little goodies and hunt down the little animals. These hunts are very, very expensive. They're very involved. There's a lot of intricate parts that go on it. There's a lot of money you have to put out in the street to get the information that we get. Because, you know, I'm closer to Miami, and Todd here, he's closer to, you know, Cocoa Beach, and we're completely out of the area in another town on the other side. We don't have, you know, the informant infrastructure that we have in some places. Although we're familiar to certain areas here. So it takes a great deal of funding. And we came here basically on a shoestring budget. And that probably is going to be the only thing that really stops us, is we're just going to, for temporary purposes, run out of funds and have to go and get something easier, which last night we managed to pull off two fugitives in our spare time and got a few dollars for a hotel room, which we've only had one. Good 6-hour sleep in the last several days.
If that.
I mean, you know, I've got a dog that's keeping us up, and, you know, Matt snores like a train, and he finds that I talk in my sleep, so he's trying to pump me for information. And, oh, it's a fucking nightmare. And then on top of all that, you know, Matt's got a wife. You know, he's got a wife. Thinks she's out, you know, chasing the damn go-go girls. And, you know, it puts a strain on your families and friends. And, you know, I got people that want to see me, and I, haven't been able to be there for a few weeks because I've been on the road. And it's like, you know, you don't love us no more.
Stressful.
It's stressful. I mean, it's the stress, you know, our stress is so high that, you know, we're listening to what this guy's saying, and we're kind of like trying to send word back. Listen, dude, you are fucking with two guys that are heavily stressed, missing their families, families missing them, girlfriends, wives, you know, just, you know, why aren't you here? And money issues. I hope you lay it down when we run into you, because I don't want no accident. You know, we accidentally shot this prick because our nerves are rattled, you know.
going back to Mr. Wilkinson, Guns and Drugs.
Yeah.
Boy, that sounds like a recipe for a gangbanger. Is he one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is a card-carrying member of the Blues. And, you know, I have associate friends on both sides of that fence, the Crips and the Bloods. I don't subscribe to either gang. I understand where they're coming from. But this guy here is went off the fucking reservation and basically is, you know, a guy, I always said this, you know, a guy that slings dope on the corner of 5th and Main, I understand that. That's how he was raised. That's how his uncle did it, and his uncle, because the education system and various things. I understand that. The ones that really pissed me off is the ones from the affluent families who don't need to be doing that shit, but do it, just be doing it, and just for general purposes, just because they want to be a rebel of some sort. Now, this guy here, I mean, you know, there's certain things that various gangs do that, you know, probably is warranted, for lack of words. But when you go and you beat up innocent girls and you pull guns on them and you threaten them with their life and everything else, they ain't done anything. They ain't broke any kind of rules. And you do that kind of shit. I kind of see him being segregated slightly from the brotherhoods that he's known to associate with. In fact, he was in one brotherhood, and I guess he changed up and went over to, you know, the other brotherhood. So I don't know, Simon. You know, I don't really give it any merit to the fact that he belongs to this club or that club at all. He's a thug, a piece of shit, and he needs to go to jail for everything he's done just to his own people. He's turned his own people in, and he's backstabbed his own, you know, brotherhood. So I think that maybe he's not going to be as protected as he thinks he's going to be when this shit hits the 12 o'clock hour.
Well, that actually reminds me of a great line by Groucho Marx. I wouldn't belong to a club that would have me.
Well, that would sure enough stop me from joining any club that had a member such as this. I mean, like I said, I understand some of the things that they do, and, you know, they're taking care of their own, and they provide a service of protection to certain things. I, you know, there is some good that comes out of all clubs. This guy here has just warped it and went the other way, and I don't think that he is shit-scared a bunch of people that have come to look for him. They have kind of went away with their tail tucked between their legs and called in for bigger reinforcements. He's managed to elude police, and, you know, all cops aren't the same. You know, you got some really guys out there that are on the front lines that are super aggressive and they're proactive. And then you've got that guy that's one donut short of a heart attack sitting over there. Let him go. You know, I want to go home. No, forget it. And, you know, so it's a mix. I mean, we're out here hard after his ass because of the fact that he did what he did, and he stole our money, basically. I mean, that's our only dog in the fight. I mean, he ran on our bond and took our money, and we won it back.
Matt, I know that you've been involved in several hunts with the infamous Cobra. Is this the toughest one so far?
It is and it isn't. This, you know, we got a lot of things happening that's working against us. I really can't talk about that right now. It's making it hard for us, or actually make it hard for us to, you know, find this guy. But we will find this guy. It's not an easy one, but we've done, you know, harder ones, and we have prevailed. So, you know, time will tell. We'll know later on this evening.
Well,
he's going down, no doubt about it. I mean, I told his own mama, I said, listen, you got your choices. You can cooperate with us, or you can attend his funeral. Because he's wanted, armed, and dangerous. There's some trigger-happy boys out here besides us. I mean, we're not the only ones. You're the only ones on my team, and I'm going to try to bring your son in safely. But I don't want to come to the funeral and see you crying because she's lying like a rug. You know, it's her only son. He has no father. He didn't need to be selling drugs. She has plenty of money. And basically, she could go ahead, and what really pisses me off, she could pay the bond off. But now that I've become involved in it, I don't really give a shit if you pay the bond off or not. He's still going down because they have stressed me out since about Wednesday and fed me bullshit. And some of the people, like, I wrote a story. We haven't published it yet, but it's called The Blurred Lines. You don't know the good guys from the bad guys, and we've got some bad guys out here acting as buddies, and they ain't our buddies. And we're finding them out every single day. You know, I've been wanting to say this for a long time. Just because you're a bondsman don't mean you're a fucking bounty hunter. And every bondsman seems to think that they're the world's best fucking bounty hunter and immature at best. Some of the stuff that I see, in fact, I don't even want to mention any names because I've seen some shit in the last couple of days that just blew my hair back. I'm like, how have you not gotten shot and killed doing this shit? It is beyond me. How in the hell you've made it this far is... You know, God must love you. I don't know.
Well, I personally don't like the term bounty hunter. It has a bad connotation. And it doesn't bode well for the bail bonds industry. You're not about hunting people down. You're about, you know... giving people a chance at freedom before they, you know, have to face the court. Right. I don't know what percentage of folks, you know, welch on their bond, but it has to be a relatively small percentage. Otherwise, it wouldn't be practical to be a bondsman.
Nor profitable. Right. It is a small percentage, and you're exactly right. That's why, you know, so many people say, you know, Cobra, you're a bounty hunter. So, I'm a surety agent. I'm a licensed bondsman. But if you run, I'm going to hunt you down. So if you want to put a name on that and call that something, years ago we used to be called runners. They would call us runners because we would be the guys that went after them. And then when they changed the law, they made us all in Florida, you know, bondsmen. But there is equally differences in writing bond, which I can tell you right now, I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm willing to learn. I opened up a bond office, but Matt's going to run it because Matt's written bonds. And there's people out there that are very, very good putting together a bond package on a person, ensuring that they're covered for the most part of their liability stuff. Then there's other little things that the court throw at you, like a nebbia, where you have to certify that money was not derived from drugs or illegal practices that's being used to get you out of jail. And that's a whole bunch of paperwork in itself. And then there's the specialized guy who specializes in locating, tracking, locating, finding, and arresting and transporting that individual back to the jurisdiction of the court, and that's me. So whatever terminology you put on that, that's what I am. But there's so many of those guys out there that are hooked the law. We call them weekend bounty hunters. They just want to be able to tell the girls that they tried to seduce in the bars, you know what I do for a living? I'm a bounty hunter. And I always walk up and say, did you know for $500 you can get your fucking head blown off? You can. Molly Hatchet said it's good in Bounty Hunter. And he said, don't you know $500 will get your head blown off? It will. Yes, sir. So, you know, it's an interesting business, there are two sides to it. And just because you're very good at writing bail and you have the ability and you're covered under the law to go out and chase them down if they fail to show, listen, it's not for everybody, but some want to try it.
Okay, you mentioned fail to show. That means that someone has failed to turn up in court, correct?
Yeah, failure to appear. FTA is what the actual terminology is. It's a failure to appear, correct?
Okay. Is that the only reason that a bond might be rescinded?
No. If the bondsman wakes up, basically, and him and his wife are fighting, and he decides that, you know what, I don't really like the fact that I wrote you out of jail, and decides for whatever reason to put you back in jail, he can do it, you know, upon any whim. Now, in Florida, for example, if your bond is revoked and there's no valid reason for it, then your premium money of whatever you spent, if any at all, has to be refunded to you. And then, of course, you can rebond out instantly with another bondsman. There's no new charges or anything like that. You can just bond back out. But there's many, many things that can cause a revocation of your bond.
There's five that you can violate.
There's five that you can actually violate. I'm going to let Matt tell you what those five are.
Well, one is if you get hit with a charge other than a minor traffic violation, that could put you in. If you make a false statement on your application, giving false information, that could put you in. If the indemnifier feels that you're not going to go to your court and that you may not appear, that could put you in.
What else? I'll find it.
Yeah.
I know. Just give me a reason. I got a sheet here someplace. Got those reasons on it. I ain't read it so long.
You know, if you're doing, like, say you're drinking a lot or doing drugs, that would definitely violate the terms of your conditions of your bond as well. Yeah.
And if you leave the county that you're
without consent,
say you're bonded out of Broward County and you go down to Miami for the football game and you didn't have permission from your bondsman, he can put you back in jail, and that's a solid violation. Those are all solid violations to where you're not getting any of your money back.
And here's one that we seem to have a lot. If they put down or they change their address and they
right.
don't update their address or their new telephone number, that will violate you as well.
Yeah. So there might be more than those five. There may be some broadened sections of it here and there. But basically, for the most part, bondsmen make money off of taking people out of jail. They don't make money putting them back in jail. And the only reason they're going to put them back in jail, if there becomes a risk to that bond, they notice the risk. And, you know, a lot of times a guy will go from county to county without permission of the court, and the bondsman won't do anything about it, you know, whatever. If he still feels like he's in good shape on that bond, he'll let it slide. He'll let a lot of stuff slide. But the instant that he feels there might be a problem, he'll look for one of those five issues to be able to revocate that bond without having to give you a premium back. And if you can't find it on there, then some of them will make up some shit. But in Florida, it is illegal, as in, I think, California, to revocate someone's bond for failure to pay a premium. If you didn't get your money before you let him out of the jail and he decides he's not going to pay you, oh, well, he's good to go, and he got one over on your ass. And, you know, there are bonds that try to get them put back in for some type of reason, but you can't revocate them simply because they failed to pay a premium. There are certain things you can't do, but, you know, I've been around this business long enough to know that just as many good ones, there's slimy ones, and they will do some hooky shit to, you know, try to make their money. A lot of times they do stuff like popping a guy out of jail. They haven't talked to anyone. They just saw your name come up on a computer. They wrote the bond and went and posted it, and that's all the information they have. And then they try to shake you down for the money after the fact. And if you don't have any money, they try to figure out how to walk you back into the jail the other way. And yes, you can, and no, you can't. It's, you know, it's a slimy business, Simon. I mean, it does provide a service, but for the most part that I've seen here of late, it's very, very slimy.
Okay. I want to go back to the the unfortunate canoeist that died. Well,
oh, yeah.
Almost died.
He thought he did take over. I thought I did die.
Now, he didn't die, and Mama Bear was all in. Well, appears to have been somewhat involved in the undeath of her son.
I can clear it up for you. Bob to her sock tops, my friend.
Now, you mentioned that Mama Bear on Mr. Wilkinson probably hasn't been as forthcoming as she might be or might have been. Am I correct in that?
She's just as dirty up to her sock tops as well. I watched her eyes. I talked to her. We discussed her son. I says, well, you know, it's going to hurt your feelings if he ends up at the morgue. She goes, well, I haven't talked to him in 3 months. You know, I bought him out of jail. I've tried to cooperate with the bondsman best I could. I said, well, how about start giving us a phone number where he's at so we can talk to him? You know, won't you invite him over and we'll take him nice and peacefully? Any of the above thing. We gave her every available opportunity to come clean, and she has not come clean. And, you know, it's typical. I mean, you know, protecting your son's one thing. I would like to protect my children, but if one of them did wrong and they were out on bond and needed to face the music, they need to face the music, because what they end up doing is give you more trouble, and more trouble, and it could go ugly. I mean, you know, we don't have to look very far. We look to Missouri. We look to New York. We look to a couple of different states where shit got out of hand just for a moment, and all hell breaks loose, you know. They should just laid it down, cooperate, come on in, do their thing. But no, hell no. We ain't going to be happy till somebody kills somebody, and then we got a damn riot on our hands to deal with. So it just progressively, it's like stinking shit. You stir it, it's stinking. So they're out here running still. You think if he had a job at Burger King, for God's sake, or IBM or anywhere, you know, okay, he's trying to get his life together. Let's go ahead and cut him some slack. But no, what's he doing? Same shit he was doing when we bonded him out of jail. He's right back doing it. Why? Because that's what he does. You know, that's what he does.
I mean, Matt, doesn't it disturb you? But, you know, mothers, yeah, you know, that they obviously want to protect their kids. But to protect someone that's done bad things, it's a bad idea, isn't it?
It's a normal reaction for the mother, and especially if that's her only baby. That's why you never believe the family first, because they're going to protect their own. Blood is always thicker than water. You've heard that Oakley say, and it's true. Every time you ask, they haven't talked to them, they haven't done this. And then you find out, in the end, they were more involved than you knew.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, you just basically, you have to determine, you have to become that analyst and determine on body language, determine, you know, how they answer your questions. And she went from one extreme to the other until she's going to start planning the funeral to he may have taken the stuff with him when he left. You know, certain things like that that came out of her mouth, you know, either he's dead or he's not. So, you know,
Simon, there's three emotions. There's three phases in a bond, basically. Everybody is kissing your ass, and they're happy as hell when you've decided to take someone out of jail. That's when the bondsman needs to glean as much information as possible to make sure that, you know, and write the bond as if it's a bad bond. Because like Rod says, there's only a good bond, and that's a discharge bond. Everything else is up in the air for grabs. But then when the bond goes bad, like in the case of that lady over, I mean, they go from denying, I don't know anything, to when we catch the guy and they find that they did know everything, and then they get hit with this bill. Incidentally, Mama Canoeist over there, at last count, I think her bill was $88,000. That's how much money was expended trying to catch up to her boy who was dead. And I should have tacked on another $15,000 or $20,000 because that was my first resurrection. I mean, I should get paid extra money for that shit.
Right. You know, I've heard of exorcisms, but yours is definitely the first resurrection in 2,000 years.
Yeah, I called him Lazarus. I said to him, I said, dude, I thought you got killed in a canoe. He said, man, I almost did. Where's my mommy? I'm like, what the fuck? You're going to need you. We want to know who your mommy is, too, because she owes us a lot of money now.
So what's the next step? As I understand it, you know, you've rattled the trees to try and find Mr. Wilkinson. You obviously have some cunning plan.
Well, right now we found this abandoned building, which is nice. I wish I could get inside it because I could probably find a place in there to sleep and set up shop for a while. But we found this abandoned building, and we're sitting out back of the abandoned building out of sight. We've got various CIs that we've made contact with over the last couple of days, and they're all working at pieces of puzzle that they know of. And all we can do now is wait. We've done everything humanly possible. We've tracked down all his friends, his Ace Coon Boons. We know who he buys dope from, who he sells dope to. And they're all scared because they know at any moment we could just go ahead and flip the thing over to the feds and let the feds start clearing house. You got doctor shopping. You got pill mills. You got all kinds of stuff involved in this case. And, you know, I've let them all know very quite simply, it's like this. I'm not the police. I'm not the prosecutor. I'm not the judge. I want this guy and this guy only. Now, if you piss me off and I have to pull up for a moment and come back, now everybody is targeted. I will make sure that the police bust your ass and catch you at your next dope deal because I've already seen them. Man, they're openly selling dope in front of us. I mean, I've said the other night, Matt and I were pulled off. In fact, we drink a cup of coffee. And we watched the dope deals going down. So we approached them after the fact and go, look, I know you know this guy. I know that you deal with him. And here's the thing. I just saw what you were doing there, and my truck has got you on camera. I mean, hell, that's a good, you know, hand-in-hand drug deal. So what's going to end up happening is if I don't get this guy, I'm going to be pissed off at all y'all, and all y'all can go to jail because he's probably where y'all need to be any damn way. But right now, all I want is my guy. That's all I want, and I'm taking my happy ass back to Miami, and next case breaks off, and I'll never know you again, period. But until then, I got your name. I know what you did.
No, I find it interesting what you said. I was working in Calgary, and out of the window, I was on the sixth floor, I watched the crack dealers.
Mm-hmm.
And they would hang out on the street corner. Someone would give them cash. They'd make a quick call on their cell phone, and
mm-hmm.
someone on a bicycle would come by with a little baggie, and
mm-hmm.
The deal was done. And
yep.
Yeah, I sat and thought about this long and hard. Why don't the cops do something? You know what? The cops could not have cared less. But the only time they seemed to give a damn was the annual Calgary Stampede. That they'd, that they closed down the, drug running and prostitution for 10 days. And then it was back to normal. You know, is this where we're at in our society?
Oh, we've been there a long time, Simon. There's so much that you have to turn a blind eye to. I mean, just the things that Matt and I have seen basically looking for this guy. I mean, you have to turn a blind eye to the shit and focus more on, you know, if you see Kool-Aid spilling out somewhere. In other words, somebody shot somebody. And that you can't take your eyes off of. But, you know, the hand-to-hand drug dealing, it's on every street corner. It's everywhere. I can leave this post right here and drive to the nearest 7-Eleven, and I'll see two drug deals take place then. Law enforcement is just way beyond their financial ability to deal with everything. The court system is already concluded. They're already, pretrial is off the hook trying to you know, take care of stuff. The American taxpayer is burdened to hell, to the brinking point of everything. Then we've got ISIS running around here talking about they're going to behead some people and talking shit to Sony and got the whole damn film media all shook up. You know, if they could shake up the damn news reporters the way they shook up Hollywood, we'd be all good. But they didn't do that yet. But if they would do that, I'd be happy. So they'd stop some of this crazy bullshit self-reliant reporting that they're doing and all this other crap. But, you know, law enforcement is stretched like a rubber band, and it's a matter of time before something's going to give. Funding has been cut away from them, and they're shorthanded. And, you know, the beat cop that's working the streets out here, you know, he's running up against this one-handed transaction on the corner, and he's putting his life in harm's way for bullshit that's probably going to get slapped on the wrist. Bondsman's going to bond him out. The bitch is going to get loose, and he's going to be wanted, looked for. And, you know, they didn't really take anything away. This ain't like, picking up trash on the street or painting a building or doing something productive that you can stand back after the day's done and go, wow, I made a difference. I made that part of the world just a little bit better. No, they ain't done shit because it's a revolving door. It's been a revolving door, and it's going to continue to be a revolving door, and that's why there's 500,000 arrest warrants out there on one side. In fact, in the counties by county, it would blow your mind how many felony arrest warrants are out there, and you got all these new arrests coming in, and of course they fail to appear, so you can add those back in the system. And you know what we've done is we've society has gotten away from, you know, playing good together and you know, focusing on the, you know, the common goals of humanity and family and those things, and that's all out the window now. So it's getting worse, and it will continue to get worse, and there is no end in sight. There is no control in it. There is no war on drugs. Hell, they're at war with us. So, you know, the business is going to get better in the future. Will probably be bail bonds. Be a lot more bail bonds written, but the revolving door is still going to revolve, and you're still going to look out the window at any given time, even on Sunday at the church, and somebody is dealing dope. You know, it's just
going to
be that way.
And I mean, Matt, you're the youngster. Excuse the use of the term. I mean, doesn't it make you slightly depressed that, you know, this is what the world has come to?
Well, it makes me more focused and driven. Believe it or not, not so much depressed, because, you know, if you sit there and dwell on all the negativity, it's going to bring you down. You know, I take pride in what I do, you know, and I can only do so much. Everybody has to do their part. But, you know, it is what it is, Simon. You know, there's always going to be that evil. There's always going to be drugs involved. There's always going to be, you know, since the test of time, there's always going to be what it is, you know.
That's why God made a dog.
Yep.
Because let me tell you what, and I ain't talking about dog the bounty hunter either. I'm talking about a four-legged little furry little animal that when you get off work every day, or if you are fortunate like me and work with one, man, I'm going to tell you what, you just look in that little guy's eyes, and I don't give a shit what kind of day you're having or how stressed out you are, ball in your hand, and you make eye contact, and he just, there's something soothing about that. I think more people all just get a little dog because, you know, something about a dog just makes all of it just, you know, even more so than people. I mean, children are great. You know, I got great kids, and, you know, you find comfort in that. But it's something about a furry little dog that he looks at you and go, hey, you know what? You're my hero. You did your part today, and I saw you do it. And, man, you're the man. And you know what? When I need food, I'm coming to you, buddy, because you're the man. And it's just something about that, Simon, and that just starts a whole brand new day tomorrow. It's all beautiful.
Okay.
Well, to get back there real quick, Simon, the world, you know what makes me depressed? That our world is changing and adapting instead of, you know, the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it, you know? Back in when I grew up, and I'm sure when you grew up, and definitely when COVID grew up, you got your ass whooped. If you did something bad at school, you got your ass whooped at school. When you got home, guess what? You got your ass whooped again. You know, you were brought up to learn how to be respectful. You learned how to, you know, you didn't have all these kids running around shooting up schools. You never heard of any of that, have you? You never heard of Columbine. You never heard of any situation that, you know, because you had a respect. Either for your parents or for the law or whatever. Now you can't even look at a kid wrong without, you know, DCF getting involved. So our world, you know, we're basically screwing ourselves over by, you know, making these laws up to justify, you know, not disciplining. And that's what actually depresses me.
Oh, it is indeed. I grew up in a different time, as did Cobra, and we were taught, do right or don't do it at all. Am I correct with that theory, Cobra?
Yeah, you know, I'll bet you yours was do it right or find your pecker in a wood chipper.
Right. I'm 59 years old, and I can honestly say that I've managed to avoid putting my pecker in the wood chipper.
Damn, Simon. I didn't know you was 59. I'm 57, shit.
I'm the old man. And Matt, you're what, 22?
God bless you. I wish. I probably sound like him. I'm 41.
Say what you said.
Ah, you're the youngster.
Oh my God.
But Matt, even you must have seen the changes over the last 2 decades.
Yes.
Life sucks these days. People can do whatever they want.
And when they want it.
And when they want it.
Yep. You know, Simon, we did this. I mean, you're 59, I'm 57. I ran into a guy yesterday that's a bondsman, and I'm about to fall out of my damn chair when he said he was 54.
Oh, my God.
And listen, he looked 74 if he looked 54. He must have had a hard time. But here's where we all screwed up. I screwed up, you screwed up, we all screwed up, because I said to myself, I'll be damned if my kids are going to be raised like I was. When my kids need something, I'm going to get it for them. When they're not going to be without food, they're not going to go to bed hungry. I mean, I grew up in four times. I mean, hell, Matt always says that, you know, God just finger painted me wrong because I'm really a black man at heart, and I'm black inside, upside down. It's just my skin. And I told him, I said, I'm an albino Negro. I mean, what can I tell you? That's what I am. I'm an albino. I was bleach washed. But, you know, we did this. You know, we did this to ourselves because we didn't have it so hard when you look back. It made good folks out of us. It made more good moral turpitude, more moral character. But what we started doing is, oh, my kid wants an iPod? No shit, no way, for sure, we're going to get him that. And he wants to play Dungeons and Dragons? Well, by God, what's wrong with that? And what's wrong with this? And what's wrong with that? And he's got two iPhones, and hell, you know, we call it a squirrel, because my son cannot do shit without first texting 20 people and on the phone, and I don't care if we're driving nails. I don't know how he holds a nail in his right hand with the iPhone and hits the damn thing with the left hand without breaking the damn phone. I just don't know how they do that. But we've done it to our kids, really. We're to blame by not setting the goals and standards, and it was easier to give them the iPhone. Now, I'm blessed. My oldest is a lawyer, and both of my all my children are great, great kids. Don't get never been any trouble, thank God. And beautiful, just fine. But even in that, there was a lot of times when I gave them the iPhone, or I gave them that to shut their little ass up and to, you know, didn't want to be bothered with it at the moment. Thank God I caught some of that in time and took some bother in it. Otherwise, they've been out slinging dope and doing all kinds of shit. So, yeah, we're to blame for this shit.
I'm going to tell you where we really, really went wrong, and stop me if I'm wrong. As soon as we took prayer out of school and religion,
yeah,
that's where we screwed up.
Yeah, I have to agree.
As soon as we did that, it totally changed.
Hell broke loose, yeah.
Matthew, I am in complete agreement. No Kid Left Behind became No Kid Allowed to Move Forward. And, and the most recent reincarnation or incarnation is... No Kid Should Learn Anything Except How to Pass Tests. Boring.
Yeah. And then, you know, it succeeded from there and went on into Congress and everything else. I mean, hell, brother, if you a flag burner, witchcraft talker, ISIS beheading son of a gun, coming in the country illegally, well, shit, let's just make that legal, because you all right, bro. You one of us. Right on, man. I've done the same damn thing. That's been me. I mean, what kind of thinking are we thinking? We're not thinking. We're trying to be so socialistically approved by everybody. Come to America, you know, we're going to take care of you and shit. We ain't taking care of nobody. We're just screwing our own selves over is what we're doing. I mean, when we stood strong and we had certain foundations and beliefs that were near and dear to us, man, our ancestors are turned upside down in the grave. They're glad that they lived when they lived and passed on, because the shit that's going on nowadays, I mean, it's not just in the schools, it's everywhere. So, you know, when people go home at night and they turn the damn news on, I'm not a big fan of watching the news. If something comes across and I'm supposed to know about it, somebody will tell me. And then I'll go research it if I need to look a little further. But it's so damn depressing. And, you know, I've been in women's homes. Oh, God, look, they're doing it again. Pass me the Darvons, you know. You know, popping some kind of pill because, you know, they can't function in society anymore. And that's, you know, that right there just takes the moral thread and tears it apart. And what happens is they become addicted to that way of life. And after a while, doctors are prohibited from giving you any more dope because, you know, after a while, your body builds up a tolerance. So they have to go seek it from somewhere. And they seek it from the street, and there you go. That damn, there goes the whole ball game.
Well, I find it very, very depressing. It seems to me that we have a whole generation that can do little other than text on their smartphones.
Yep.
I mean, where are we headed?
That's just the beginning. This is going to get worse.
That's just the beginning, brother. It's going to get worse and worse and
I'm
worse.
I'm here for my kids.
Yeah. Well, don't get too depressed, man, because if you do, you have to call me. You have to call me up. I have to give you some feel-good pills. Yeah, when you get too depressed, you take feel-good pills. When you feel good, then you take these pills. You'll be all right. Smiles, everyone. Hell yeah. We've totally blown out as a society with shit. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I just got a flash picture of a bunch of, you know, well-to-do older folks sitting around complaining about the kids on the damn iPhones that they bought them, popping feel-good pills and drinking wine like it's, you know, fuck, it's going out of style, you know, and wondering what happened to your kids. I don't know. I ain't got a clue.
You know, I really shouldn't come down hard on the cops. But they're underfunded, they're undermanned, and they're overwhelmed.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I had a guy yesterday when I checked in the motel room, Simon. This guy didn't look like he had two nickels to rub together, and he's driving this, you know, candy apple cold yellow car. And as my back was turned to him, he made a finger gesture of a pistol and went, and my partner saw it and jumped out on the little son of a bitch. But I'm thinking, dude, I ain't a cop. You know, why you want to shoot me? Man, I'm out here chasing a guy that's, you know, doping up the society, and I'm trying to put him back in jail. He want to shoot me. Holy shit. Simon, we've lost it, brother. We've lost it. Mm.
Well, it bothers me. I mean, yeah, occasionally, you know, we have successes, and I know that the mention of the name Haley Cummings will will just piss you off, but. You know, in some ways, there was a victory. We don't know who killed her, but we do know five people are in jail as a consequence.
That's right. That's right. A lot more than that. It taught me some things. It shed some things out of my life that I didn't need to have in my life anymore. It took the rose-colored glasses that I was wearing off, thinking everybody is your friend, trying to please everyone, trying to, you know, hope this and hope. You know, at the end of the day, I said, you know, I did the best I could do. Others did the best they could do. We didn't get it solved, but somebody's ass got fried over the deal. And, you know, it's just like the incident got me in a bunch of shit with Snodgrass. Well, finally, after all those years, I mean, his first incarceration was 2007. And finally, you know, what was it, 2011, some 4 years later, he was convicted of those crimes and now spends three life sentences behind bars. You know, it all came with a great cost to many. T.J. Hart suffered at loss. Others that were involved in it suffered loss. But guess what? Richard Grund. But in the end of it all, we're still smiling, and there's some other folks that ain't feeling so happy. So what the hell?
Right. I'm looking at the clock, and we're almost out of time. Todd, I'm going to ask you first. Any parting thoughts for the listeners?
I don't want to bring anybody down for, you know, talking about what our future holds. You know, I think as a society that we'll come out of it. When, don't know, and how much we'll come out of it, still don't know. But as a person, we all need to do our part. Like me and Cobra doing, we're trying to take down bad guys, get them off the streets, you know. But like I said, we're only so, you know, only a few people. But like I said, you just do your best, and God will take care of the rest.
And
yep.
Cobra.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Bruce Wilkinson, you will go down. I always get my guy. And you're no different. You're definitely not smart as some of them I've gone after. So my closing thoughts will be, it'll be nice when he's in jail and I can call you back up and go, Simon, you know, America's Most Wanted's working pretty damn good, because So far, we're hitting 95%. If we post your photograph on America's Most Unwanted, right now there's a 95% chance that you're going to get caught and go to jail. And we're trying to change that number higher each week. So here we go, and hopefully next week I can report to you that Mr. Wilkinson, SWAT got his ass.
Perfect. Okay, we are flat out of time. Cobra and Matthew, I want to thank you for spending time with me this afternoon. You folks have a good hunting evening.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll be back next Saturday with another edition. Till then, this is Simon wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. And don't do anything bad. And, a Merry Christmas. Talk to you next week. Till then, goodbye.